Hello everyone and welcome back to Bee's Corner, a true crime podcast where I will be diving into the most infamous true crime cases of all times. Sorry that I've been gone for a very long time. I was very busy with a lot of things, but I am back with an interesting and a bit different case of the history of Ouija board. I personally have always been invested in supernatural. I had a few of my own experiences, but I'm not sure if I could call them real or if they were just my imagination. So let's begin. In February of 1891, the very first advertisements started appearing in papers, Ouija, the wonderful talking board. It was sold in Pittsburgh toy and novelty shop. It was described as a magical device that answered questions about the past, present, and future with marvelous accuracy and promised never-failing amusement for all the classes. So it was pretty much what it looked like. It pretty much looked like what it looks like now. A flat board with letters of the alphabet arranged into semicircles. We have numbers from 0 to 9 underneath them. The words yes and no in the uppermost corners and goodbye at the bottom with a teardrop-shaped device called a planchette. It was advised to be played with two or more people, and it was proven to have worked at the patent office, and even psychologists said that it may offer a link between the known and the unknown. So the reason why Ouija board was giving high attention was mainly due to the historical context. It came out of American 19th century, where there was an obsession with spiritualism, the belief that dead can communicate with the living. Spiritualism was already widespread in Europe, but hit America hard in 1848 when Fox Sisters of New York claimed to have received messages from the dead. So even Mary Todd Lincoln conducted seances in White House after her 11-year-old son died. So people, obviously seances worked, but people just wanted faster communication ways, and Charles Kennard pretty much acted on it. In 1890, with a large bond, a local attorney, Colonel Washington Bowie, a surveyor, they founded the Kennard Novelty Company, the first producers of the Ouija board. So I looked a little bit into the meaning of Ouija. So oui obviously comes from the French word yes, and ja, je, I'm not sure how you would say that, but it comes from the German word, which also means yes. But the infamous story comes from Helen Peters, the sister-in-law of Elisha Bond, who was known as a strong medium. She asked the board what it would like to be called, and it said Ouija. Entities said that it meant good luck, but there's also a rumor that I only read in one source that said that she was wearing a locket of an author and a women's rights activist, Odia, whom Peters admired. So maybe the entity read the name wrong and said Ouija, not sure. So when it was taken to the patent office, the officer asked it to spell his name out, which was unknown to all parties present, and it did. So the patent explains that it works, but it doesn't explain how it works. By 1893, William Fault was running the company, but the Ouija board was pretty much failing a little bit. In 1898, he licensed the exclusive rights to make the board, but they failed again. In 1990, Colonel Washington Bowie, the only remaining member of the original five people, sold the remaining business interest for $1 to William Fault. The Fault company, like, it was pretty much failing along those times until the Great Depression of 1944, So the Ford company opened new factories during that time, and it was really becoming a hit because people really wanted and needed to believe. And actually in 1967, Parker Brothers bought it from the Ford company, and it outselled Monopoly. Like, Monopoly, come on. Ouija tales was very much frequent in newspapers after some time. I'll mention a few of them. In 1920, one of the first news about the Ouija board was that the National Services reported that would-be crime solvers were turning to their Ouija boards for clues in the mysterious murder of a New York City gambler, Joseph Burton Elwell. And in 1921, this is actually kind of creepy, a Chicago woman was sent to a psychiatric hospital. She tried to explain to doctors that she wasn't suffering from a mania, but that the Ouija spirits had told her to leave her mother's dead body in the living room for 15 days before burying her in the backyard. Yep. In 1930, the two women in New York said that they'd murdered another woman in the encouragement of the Ouija board. In 1941, a 20-year-old gas station attendant from New Jersey said that he joined the army just because the Ouija board told him to. Yeah. In 1958, a Connecticut court decided not to honor the Ouija board will of Mrs. Helen Dow Peck, who left only $1,000 to two former servants and $152,000 to Mr. John Gail Forbes, a bodiless spirit who contacted her via the Ouija board. The Ouija board was also an inspiration in literature as well. I'll talk a few about the major hits and one of the first occurrences as well. In 1916, Mrs. Pearl Karen began writing poems and stories that she claimed were dictated via Ouija board by the spirit of a 17th century English woman called Patience Worth. A year later, Mrs. Curran's friend Emily Grant Hutchings wrote a book called Jap Heaven, which was actually dictated by Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain. In 1982, Ouija inspired and dictated the poem The Changing Light at Sandover, which won the National Book Critics Circle Award. But one of the most famous things was the 1973 Exorcist. The Exorcist pretty much scared everyone in the theaters, with the implication that a 12-year-old was possessed by a demon after playing with a Ouija board by herself. But in just overnight, the Ouija board became the tool of the devil and is now highly used by horror writers and movie makers. Interesting fact, in 2001, in New Mexico, it was being burned on bonfires, along with copies of Disney's Snow White and Harry Potter. Like, I'm a Potterhead. How could you do that to Harry Potter? How could you do that to a book? Like, come on, all of my Potterheads were against it. I researched a little bit about on the theories of like how the psychological side of it, and some scientists and psychologists said that the Ouija board works on a principle known for 160 years as the ideometer effect. So it kind of says that the movements are generated by us, but like we don't notice it. So it gives the impression that it is being moved by an outside agency. Yeah, so that was the psychological explanation. I think you can say that as well. So that was all for today. I know it was way shorter, but it's a good to listen. It also went pretty fast as well. I really hope you guys liked it. I'm also very sorry if I butchered any words. I'm not native to English. Really sorry on that. And I'll see you guys later. Bye.